be sure to check out All Things Transformers with Steve, Megatron, and TFG1 Mike.
Hey, it's David Kay, voice of Beast Wars Megatron and TFA Optimus. You're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You're listening to All Things Transformers, version 2.0.
Hello and welcome to All Things Transformers version 2.0 episode 38. I'm your host Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me again for this Beast Machines retrospective is
Dave G and Mike
and Pecan Cord Michael.
Welcome back.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going.
It's going to Beast Machines.
Yes. We head back to Cybertron, and the planet is completely dark and deserted.
And dead inside.
Yes. And as we go through this journey, one of the greatest Decepticon leaders of all time is reduced to a drone body. Megatron kind of looks like Orbity in this series.
Correction, he was not a Decepticon.
You know what I mean. He's descendant of a Decepticon. You know what I mean, damn it.
Merry Christmas, damn it!
Wow, I didn't know you could do Corey Burton Shockwave.
No.
Yeah. When did you first see Beast Machines, Steve?
Right after Beast Wars.
Really?
Yep. I continuously watched it from the previous iteration, so... I was all over that.
As it were.
Yes, as it were.
Wasn't there a pause in between the Beast Wars and the Beast Machines series?
There was a brief... I think it was like a 6 months, 8 months thing.
Oh, it wasn't longer? Okay.
I don't think so. Because I believe directly after that's when Robots in Disguise and then Armada and the Unicron Trilogy occurred.
Okay, yeah, because I did not watch the Beast Wars on TV, but I was all over Beast Machines. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had just gotten back into Transformers, and it came on Saturday mornings, and I made it a point to wake up, which was insane for me at the time. But yeah, wow. I didn't miss too many of them, but and the ones I saw were like, wow, this is amazing. Back in the day. And that was like, I'm trying to remember what like year it was. Was it like 1999?
Yep.
And yep. Yeah, and so like message boards were up on the internet and people were talking, and I want to say Bob Skir was online.
Yeah, he had bobskir.net.
Yeah, and he was talking about it up until the end when everybody went apeshit
and tried to kill him.
And try to kill him, yeah, which was terrible because, you know, Bob, he's a good guy.
He's an awesome guy. We spent 2 hours with him on the interview.
And if anyone's listening,
got some knowledge.
Yeah, if anyone's listening who hasn't talked to Bob or hasn't heard us talk to Bob yet, go back in the archives, find that interview. It is awesome. It's well worth the 2 hours we spent talking with the guy.
Yes, yes it is. I'm just looking here on the TF Wiki. Nemesis Part 2 aired May 7th.
98. 99. Ah, so it was probably about 6 months.
Yep, you're right. It's about 5 months. The reformatting aired September 18th, 99. Mm. So.
And it's funny, the Fox, because it aired on Fox, which is funny because part of the show aired on UPN, and then it aired on Cartoon Network, and then it moved to Fox.
Mm-hmm.
I think 5 episodes were Cartoon Network, and then they moved it over. but Beast Machines, the funny thing is they had that song, the music video, that was kind of two parts of the beginning of Beast Machines, the first, like, 5 episodes they kind of touched on.
Right.
Showing them transform and showing Megatron and everything else, and then, you know, touching on the Oracle part of it. And I always liked that for some reason, just because it was something new and it was tied to Beast Wars somewhat. Mm-hmm. So it was a great teaser.
See, for me, I didn't, again, I kind of noticed Beast Machines when it first came out, but not really. I had found it a number of years later after, I think I found it right after I watched one of the Unicron trilogy cartoons, and I'm like, oh, there's got to be something better. You know, there's got to be something better for Transformers right now, please. And I found Beast Machines, and I'm one of those people. There are two cartoons that are out there in the universe that I believe... two series that I believe are one entire series unto themselves, regardless of how the production split it off or changed the format of the cartoon. And that's Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. I think that's one entire show because it lists the runtime from 2001 to 2006. And Beast Wars and Beast Machines, yes, they are different. Yes, Beast Wars was the comedy. Yes, I understand that. But you're still taking the same characters, putting them on Cybertron and putting them through dramatic events. It's not like Megatron's personality is completely different between Beast Wars and Beast Machines. He's still the same sadistic leader he's always been.
Right. I'll buy that, sure.
For a dollar. The bus keeps on trucking through.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
Would have been a shame if I had set that up and you had missed it, but you caught that bus.
Yeah.
With a shovel.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But the characters, again, they all follow through. I mean, and the relationships that were present in Beast Wars follow through to Beast Machines. Sometimes in convoluted, messed up ways.
Let's see, you say that, and I know you're probably going to talk about Silverbolt. I love that they turned him dark. I like happy, fun-loving, honorable Silverbolt. He still has his honor in Beast Machines. He's just been screwed over too many times, and the last screw-over that Megatron gave him was to turn him into a sadistic Viacon.
You know, I liked it better, and this is, I don't know how spoilery we're going to get this early in the episode here, but...
The show's been off the air for how long?
I know. I liked it. I really liked it when Rhinox went bad.
Well, we had already seen that previously.
Exactly.
So seeing it, yeah.
I still want a repaint of Dark Rhinox from the Beast Wars series, but then
that's what I said. Yeah, that's what I said last time when we talked about Beast Wars.
Yeah, but then to see him go whole hog and he's like, I really liked it, and in fact, I'm just kind of playing dumb because I'm that smart.
Exactly.
I mean, that's brilliant. It's just brilliant writing.
Well, and the fact that he went, Tankor, and then he's, you know, just playing Megatron for a dupe the whole time, except Megatron still had a backup plan in place.
Well, of course he did.
The greatest thing about Rytank is that he has
Tank Ox.
Okay. The best thing about Tank Ox is that instead of just getting the same voice actor to do two different voices, it's two completely separate voice actors. You have Richard Newman as the Rhinox voice, and you have Paul Dobson as the Tankor voice.
That's right, yeah.
And it was just so, so great.
Yeah. Well, it makes me wonder if they had meant to do that. Because as I remember, if I remember talking from Bob, things changed a little bit as they went through. So it's like, well, maybe they didn't intend to have Tankor be Rhinox. But then again, where did Rhinox go? You couldn't really explain that away.
Limbo, limbo, limbo.
Out in limbo. Well, it's like...
We're out in limbo, hanging with Monstar.
It wouldn't be the first time that they just chucked a bunch of main characters out the window in between, you know, seasons and said, eh, we don't need these guys anymore.
Well, see, the greatest thing about this cartoon series is they did go back and explain it with each of the Viacons.
Right.
With Jetstorm, Thrust, and Tankor.
Yeah.
It took them X number of episodes to get to it.
Yeah.
But that was the good... See, this is why I love the storytelling in Beast Machine so much, is that they basically drop you in cold, like a refresh point on Call of Duty or something. Drop you into a situation cold, and then as you go along, you learn more about it because these are the same characters from Beast Wars. And again, that's why I love the storytelling in Beast Machines. It's so well done. It just is. Absolutely is. I know this is a stupid question to ask Steve, especially. Outside of your namesake, what was your favorite Beast Machines character?
Oh, yes. Well, I don't know.
And saying Noble is a cheat.
I actually hated Noble.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. I think it was because it was the Beast to Beast thing.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was brilliant.
I knew where he came from. I kind of put two and two together, you know.
How many red dragons are there on the planet? You know?
Well, I mean, cold and calculating, I saw as, you know, the wolf part of, you know, Megatron.
Yeah.
Kind of the playing coy and everything else. And then the, you know, just complete rage monster was, you know, the savage part.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it made sense why they did what they did, but... I completely dislike the character just from the get-go.
I liked him a lot better than Nightscream.
Oh, I agree. I would take the bastardized version of Megatron over Nightscream any day. There Nightscream was like... He was the bastard child of Beast Machines that no one wanted.
No one wanted.
I will agree to a certain point on Nightscream.
He served a purpose, yes.
He is horrible in the beginning, but as the series started to progress, I would say not even the first season. I would say maybe the end, the final three episodes of the first season, or two episodes, or however many. Let me see, season one. Yeah, I would say the key, the catalyst, and end of the line is kind of where he came into his own, and then in season two, he slowly grows on you. But in general, yeah, that's a bad character. That's almost worse than, you know, Chip Chase kind of character.
Nobody wants to be saddled with an emo teen.
I will say that I had three other favorites besides Megatron.
Okay.
Of course, I can't go without saying Waspinator for what little he did appear.
Mm-hmm.
His personality.
He had one because line.
Because that was just priceless.
Yeah.
Spider Bat kiss Waspinator.
And her reaction is priceless.
Suck my mandibles.
And then you know, getting to the Maximals, it was kind of a toss up because in Beast Wars I liked Primal better, but in Beast Machines I like Silverbolt / Rat Trap better, because Rat Trap was the cocky know-it-all and kind of, you know, able to come up with stuff, which he did, but yeah. He was at a disadvantage for the longest time.
Now, I am a disabled person, so I can say this without feeling like a jerk. Did they put Rat Trap in a wheelchair-like body to placate disabled people?
I don't think so. I think it's because he had the wheels and transmetal form, so it kind of...
Yeah.
It's their way of putting him into that.
Yeah.
He did kind of look like he was in a wheelchair, though.
Yeah.
It did.
I never thought of it that way. I don't think it would be to placate disabled people, but it might be... It might have been a way to include people of all abilities. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe. They included the emo teen. So, and the Botanica had a very interesting accent that one might say might have been exotic, let's say.
Yeah. Very.
So they were, it got they were... Rat Trap's wheels rolling.
Oh yeah. My god, that was not... That was one of the best things about this series. I don't care what anyone says.
I'm a tree hugger.
Because look at Rat Trap as a character from Beast Wars to now.
Right.
He's always been the, we're all gonna die.
We're all gonna die.
You know, he
finally
he's
gets
always,
a girlfriend? Is that what
yeah, he's always been the pessimist about it, and... His pessimistic attitude, because she also has a pessimistic attitude, leads to love. You know, so there is that.
I don't remember her being pessimistic.
Well, okay, argumentative then. Because the two of them argued like it was no tomorrow, and then they
stubborn.
Kissed.
Yeah.
Well, she had more hope.
Yeah.
And she was all about the plants, whereas Rat Trap was all about, you know, everything
the
else.
Technology.
Basically doing whatever could help make her happy.
Yeah.
You want me to tend the garden? I'll tend the garden. Yeah, sure, whatever.
But as far as like Viacons are concerned, I like Tankor's form, and I think he's pretty awesome. I like Thrust because he's almost like the Inferno of the series. Yeah. Even though he's voiced by the same guy, he's almost like the intelligent version of Inferno here. He's pretty much got undying loyalty to Megatron.
I'm waiting for him to say "For the Queen," and that.
No.
That's my queen.
Yeah,
I told you, stop calling me that.
Oh, I do wish he'd quit calling me that.
I'm really glad that it wasn't just Inferno in a new body. I'm really glad that it was Waspinator.
Yeah,
in a new body.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so for me and the Viacons, I liked them. I thought they were awesome.
Yeah.
I thought Thrust was great. I thought Jetstorm and the buildup for Jetstorm, how dark that character is to only be revealed that he got forced into doing something that he didn't want to do, and then he reveled
and
in it.
He really
enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, Silverbolt even says in the series, I reveled in destruction.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, and I shouldn't have. Yeah. And that's what makes Silverbolt, to me, one of the best characters out of the entire Beast era.
See, I could do without Silverbolt. And Silverbolt, it might have been the toy that turned me off from Silverbolt, because the toy, it looks
like
a chicken.
I think it was the ratings.
No, long before it was, you know, well, long before Michael Bay's Starscream came along, there was, you know, Silverbolt the chicken bot. And he looks like a big blue chicken. Oh, it's awful. It's an awful toy. But I mean, I saw the samurai look they were going for with Silverbolt, which harkens back to Beast Wars, which made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't like the character. Now, Jetstorm was my favorite character on the show. He was just crazy. Like manic, insane crazy. And I really liked that. I thought that was really cool.
You want to talk about a 20th or whatever anniversary toy that needs to be remade is Beast Machine Silverbolt. There was a repaint done because the first version of him, you're right, he looks like a chicken, but there was a second one done that was more show accurate,
super chicken,
and, the purple and pink one. Was a little bit more accurate. But yeah, no, we'll we'll get into the toys here in a few minutes, but for me, favorite characters, I didn't really like, I loved Optimus once he went optimal in season 3 of Beast Wars. Mm-hmm. Now that he's gone all ape shit, I didn't really like the evolution of him, or I should say the de-evolution of him. Now, Cheetor is another story. Everybody knows that my favorite character overall the entire Beast era is Cheetor, and I will maintain that Cheetor is basically growing up from a kid to a teenager to a young adult or even an older adult. And in Beast Machines, he hit his stride. He was able to step up and take leadership when Optimus couldn't get off his monkey ass. You know, everything about Cheetor was just amazing in the series for me.
Yeah, I'll buy that, yeah. He really came into his own.
What about you, Michael? What are your couple of your favorite characters?
Oh, I like I said, I really liked Jetstorm. I thought he was a great character. I liked the maintenance drone. I thought he had an awesome personality.
He was hilarious.
Yeah.
He was like Megatron's talking to him. Yes, Jeeves.
Jeeves.
I require this. Whatever you say, Megatron. It was like Shockwave in bitch form. Like
bitch form, I like that. And another character that I liked and for completely different reasons is Stryker. When Stryker and Obsidian showed up, you know, they were basically new characters, and it was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. But the fact that you know, we have a new female character who's a tank.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this great big old Mother Russia-type character. You know, just like, I will spank you into the ground. Yeah, I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it was.
Eh.
One thing I did not know about Beast Machines is that, like Beast Wars, it too had an original name that was never used until years and years later when Hasbro re-trademarked it. Beast Machines was originally going to be called Beast Hunters.
That was
but there was also a different premise for that.
Right, right. But I this is just something about the show that I never knew. Now, when we did talk to Larry DiTillio, we asked him if it hadn't gone to, if Beast Wars had gotten two more seasons out of its continuity, what would they have done? And he said, we would have put them back on Cybertron. I don't know what they would have done with them on Cybertron, if it would be anything close to what we had, what we've gotten in Beast Machines, but either way, it's a nice little thing to know.
I think it would have been nice to explore their new environment.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that pissed off all the long-term fans was that Cybertron was green. And maybe not like green with chlorophyll, but green with, you know, mechanical plants.
Yeah.
And it looked cool. You know, I know a lot of people were upset with it. They said, that's not the Cybertron I grew up with. But at the same time, you've got a whole new environment to explore.
Yeah.
They could have pulled a lot of new stories out of that.
Oh, yeah. I will say that what we did get for the story in Beast Machines, like I've already said, I thought it was really, really great. And it's a story that has kind of continued on through the ages, because you have the same thing going on now with Prime and whatever the name of the cartoon that's going to be following up Prime next year. Look at the end of Predacons Rising,
right?
And then look at is it Endgame? Oh, what is that last episode called? God, you'd think I would know. I love this show.
You don't have it memorized? Come on, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You think I would know? Yeah, it is.
Endgame,
I was right.
Part 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. Endgame Part 3, Seeds of the Future. Look at Seeds of the Future, and then look at the end of Predacons Rising with Optimus going back into the Well of the Allsparks.
Right.
And, you know, it's very similar that, oh, it will always continue, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I really dug that.
Yeah.
Shall we briefly talk about the... This is one thing I don't like about this series is how vastly crappy and different... This is not supposed to be G2 colors, damn it. The Beast Machines toys, all the aesthetics, all of them suck.
You think so? I don't know. Yeah. I liked the colors.
I don't think the colors were all that bad. I think the designs were bad.
Yeah.
I think it was more so that because...
Are you referring to the non-show accurate nature?
Yes.
Or, oh, yes. Okay, all right. Okay.
It's not that they weren't bad Transformers because they were good. And some of them you could tell were clearly reused from other molds.
Right.
But... I think that they could have been done much better.
Okay.
Compared to what we got. Mm-hmm. Namely, you look at figures like the gigantic Cheetor instead of having a smaller one.
Oh. Mm-hmm. They did have a smaller Cheetor. They had a Voyager size Cheetor.
Oh, yeah. That
he can't stand either.
No.
But he was a good toy.
He can't stand himself.
He can't stand him.
You look at the deluxe Optimus Primal, and he was terrible.
The blue one?
Yeah.
See, I liked that toy for what it was. It wasn't a very good Optimus Primal. They did release...
No, you get Blast Punch Optimus Primal, and that one looks pretty show accurate.
Was that the smaller one, or the leader
size? That's the Ultra.
The Ultra? Okay, no, that one is not only show accurate, but all of his fingers were articulated, which I think was a first.
Yeah, that was actually really cool.
Right.
The Rat Trap I thought was kind of neat as well.
No, that Rat Trap was awful.
I think it looked neat. I didn't say it was a good figure.
Oh, no, it was terrible. I liked how you could swap out his wheels for legs.
Yeah. So he could actually stand.
He could, well, not really, but okay.
Supposedly.
It seems to be a hallmark of the series. They don't stand very well. In fact, they even came out with a small series of rideable vehicles so that they wouldn't have to stand. They could just hold on for dear life.
Yeah, I had one of those. That was the Mechatron.
Uh-huh.
And then I put the Megabolt Megatron on it.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, was the only Megatron figure for the series, which was batshit terrible.
Yeah. Oh, God, too bad. Yeah. I guess that's... Yeah. That's about all you could do with that particular form, though. I mean... Not a whole lot you could do for that guy.
Yeah, I mean, they could have made him bigger. That would have helped with the detail. They could have done a lot more with it then.
You know what I will say about
Megatroid. Oh, yes. And I wasn't even talking about, like, I know Megabolt Megatron is the head. They could have done that a lot better. So that it, even if it didn't transform to a robot, they could have made it so it transformed from the head to the ship. But then there's the cloak Megatron.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was terrible. That should have been an Ultra, and then they could have done it right.
Yeah, it was a mega toy, but I gotta say that even though it kind of sucked as far as the cloak not really covering everything up, as far as like having his feet stand out there,
yeah,
McDonald's did it right. In the Happy Meal toy from 2000.
Yeah, that was an awful figure.
Yes, it was. As far as the robot mode, it was, but they got the cloak right.
That's sad.
I know, right?
It's sad when McDonald's gets the cloak right, and they're like, well, you didn't cover them up right. Well, McDonald's did.
Yeah. I wanted to paint them up as a Coke can and, you know, roll them over.
I wanted to make a cloak for my Transmetal 2 Megatron so bad and do it right.
How did you even go about that?
I don't know. I saw a bunch of kit bashes back in the day of people doing it. Surprisingly, they did a good job.
All right, then. That's like, that. Okay, sure. You know what I liked is the whole bunch of interesting basics toys that they came out with. I mean, they had a wasp, they had a gecko, they had a bull, they had a snake. I don't remember any of their names now, but they had a snake. The battle unicorn is probably one of the coolest Transformers ever. I dig him.
I think most of the basic figures actually were the best figures of the line.
Yeah, well, eventually they came out with a really nice basic Tankor.
Yeah, that was real cool.
There's a Shark.
Which is going to get overshadowed by the Generations version, which we're finally getting an actual show-accurate Tankor now.
Oh, maybe.
It's supposed to be kind of like the show-accurate Waspinator, Rattrap, and Rhinox that we are getting.
Yeah. I don't want to say overshadowed, though, because, I mean, this was a really cool toy for the day.
Well, yeah, I just wish that some of the old toys were more show accurate.
Yeah, but on the bright side, we got Dinobots out of it.
Yeah, the Dinobots line was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first time we had a return of Dinobots. I think they actually named the most of them properly.
They were all redecos, but...
Well, they were redecos of Japanese figures.
Yeah, I mean, and technically the Dinotron was a Dinobot figure with a new chest and a new inner head.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I like those a lot. I thought those were pretty cool.
So what were some of your guys' favorite episodes of the series?
Ask Michael, because I'll just say all of them.
You have to pick five. No cop-outs allowed.
Pick five.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You're trying to use my own logic against me. That's just so wrong.
That's like anti-logic.
Yeah, well...
There's such a thing?
Yes, there is.
It's got Blanchard's name all over it. I liked... I'm looking at the list of episodes here, and I'm like, oh, crap, I don't remember what any of these are about.
We did a whole podcast on them. We should have listened before we recorded.
I 3 years ago, I should have been listening harder.
Yes.
Looking back, I really like the one where Rattrap makes the deal with Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, there's a lot going on there. And the aesthetics... The design, the CGI there, how everything is kind of shadowy but backlit from behind in like reds and blues, it was just really well designed. It really stood out.
Michael, you there? Damn it. Did we lose him? Did you hit mute, Michael?
What?
Did you hit mute?
No.
Well, something happened. You cut out for like half a second.
Uh-oh, that's not good.
You know. All right. Redo Skype.
Yeah, I was about to say, what was I saying? Something about, oh, Rhinox. I was talking about the design of that particular episode. About how, it was a lot of it was done in silhouette with a red background light or a blue background light. It was just powerful. Cinematography, I guess, what you'd say if it were a movie, but you know the scenes were laid out very well. It was very powerful. I mean, it was moving. When Tank Ox finally said, "Ha ha, I'm actually Rhinox," you know, that blew me away. I really liked that episode.
I think that blew everybody away.
I know. I think when Megatron finally got into his the headship body. The head. What the hell was that called?
Yeah.
He was ahead of his time. His head.
Yeah, there you go. He's ahead of his time.
He should have stopped while he was ahead.
But that's what she said.
That's what she said. But I really liked that. I thought that was a cool episode. Yeah. I think that's... You know, I think... One thing that I want to say is, as far as throughout all the episodes, is the background music was really good.
Yeah.
You know, even the intro music was like dun 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 dun, and it reminded me a lot at the time of like the music that they introduced for like Batman Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that was kind of the thing around '99.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Unlimited had it. Batman Beyond had it. Beast Machines had it.
I don't think I watched Spider-Man Unlimited.
It only lasted 13 episodes on a cliffhanger, and it got outshined and beat by Batman Beyond.
Yep. Yeah, but Batman Beyond just had really good background music. And, like, you know, the fight scene music was really
Batman Beyond was infinitely better than Spider-Man Unlimited.
Yes.
Everything Batman is better than everything Spider-Man.
I don't know about that, but...
Most of the time.
Yeah, you're right. The music. Oh my god. I really need to email my contacts at a certain record company and ask them if they would ever be able to do soundtracks for both Beast Wars and Beast Machines, because you're right, Michael. The background music in this series in Beast Machines was awesome.
Yeah.
It just was. And that soundtrack, both for both series, really, Beast Wars and Beast Machines, they need to be out there. They really, really do. I mean, if La La Land Records can, after 23 years of not having an official soundtrack for Days of Thunder, release one, I'm sure they could do Beast Wars and Beast Machines.
There's no reason why they couldn't.
I wish they would, honestly, because... and I was going to bring that up, funny enough, because... that series just honestly deserves it. It's such a good soundtrack for the whole thing, and it's pretty sad when you have to go on YouTube to find some of the tracks which somehow are out there without background music or without the background vocals.
Yeah, even though we don't like Night Scream, the episodes that he Night Scream himself, the episode where he premiered, even then, even for a bad character, the music was awesome.
But did he have his own theme song?
No, but I'm just saying, like, the background music around the circumstances of them meeting him. And the chase music when they were chasing him when they first met.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like da da da. We're trying not to be seen by this army of bad guys that are searching for us, and then the music would kick in, and you're like, oh hell.
Exactly.
Run, Cheetor.
Run, Cheetor. Run.
use that ninja speed you got there. He's like, see ya.
Oh, yeah.
Where he kind of blurs. And it was very Matrix-y, the way he would do that.
Yeah.
Again, around the same time period.
Yeah. For me, in the episodes, outside of cheating and saying the entire series, if I was going to pick several, I like the first two episodes, the reformatting and Master of the House. Mm-hmm. I love the multi-parters, Revelations, Spark War, and Endgame. All nine of those episodes are simply amazing. The Revelation, as we talked about earlier, about Jetstorm being Silverbolt in Darkest Night and A Wolf in the Fold, those would be my favorites. If I was going to pick one favorite kind of moment, it would probably be the shock of... Rat Trap and Botanica kissing.
Okay.
Because you don't expect it. What else are they going to do? They're sitting there yelling at each other, and next thing you know, she's got her vines all over him.
Tentacle porn.
Yeah. I remember a conversation about that last time we talked about this.
A freakish tentacle, multi-limbed creatures. Very kid-friendly.
You know, I was disappointed that we never got a Botanica figure.
Really? She never did?
No. It's sad because, you know, like I said, we got a bull, we got a snake, we got a tiger, you know, we got a unicorn, for Christ's sakes, but we can't get a plant lady.
Well, the funny thing is we get a shitty character like Transmutate and we can't get Botanica.
It's not like it's a girl. You can't have a girl character because I got Black Arachnia right here on the show.
And Airazor.
Well, Airazor wasn't in this series, but Striker was a girl, I guess. Yeah. If you, not, but okay, yeah.
Very badly.
She was a Striker.
Are you looking for my Adam's apple?
I am Adam's apple.
Stryker was a cross between a German and a Russian lady.
I will cut and pull, kill you. Get into the chopper.
Get into the chopper.
Oh my god.
Come with me if you want to live.
Oh. I wish they would
do more with Beast Machines.
Well, like, surprisingly, they were actually going to. And it was going to be Transtech.
Right.
Which was going to be the follow-up.
Yeah, that would have been really cool. I think Transtech was kind of Hasbro's way to segue away from Beasts into something more vehicle-ish. You know, where they would have had something that looked like a car Cheetor. Or...
Well, the thing was, is they were going to have some was... it was going to be more cars and more vehicles, but they're going to have their paint jobs from their beast form.
Right. So the same characters, the same colors, just vehicle modes, which would have been cool. It's like, hey, they weren't even the same characters, I don't think. I think the idea was that they were supposed to be in an alternate reality, but they were alternate reality versions of the same character.
It said, It would have picked up on Techno-Organic Cybertron following the events of Beast Machines.
Okay.
And it was going to be a Mainframe Entertainment CGI series. And it says that Cheetor was going to be a cybernetic race car with cheetah-like paint job. Prime, it was going to be a truck whose front end looked like an ape's face. He was going to be Prime, not Primal. They're going to have
truck, not monkey.
Yeah, truck, not monkey.
You got your monkey in my truck. They were going to have
Maximals carrying over from Beast Machines would have been Black Arachnia, Cheetor, Nightscream, Silverbolt, and Rattrap, and then a returning Beast Wars character of Depth Charge. And then it said returning Generation 1 characters would have been Optimus Prime, Shockwave, Starscream, and a new character called Immorticon. And then they had sketches for a Megatron and Scavenger figure, but they only had prototypes of Cheetor, Starscream, and Prime.
So I remember seeing pictures of the Starscream.
I saw those as well, even though they don't mention it.
I seem to remember. But, you know, it's as nice as that would have been to get back toward vehicles and, like, a futuristic kind of, you know, kind of a neat, non-vehicle-ish way, I guess. They decided to go with Robots in Disguise instead. Red. Mm-hmm. That was already in production in Japan. And to be honest, those are really cool toys. I mean, I was by the time Beast Machines was wrapping up, I was already importing the Japanese toys, the Robots in Disguise toys. I didn't think they'd come to America because I thought they were going to do Transtech or more Beast Machines or something. So I mean, I had the toys. I think it was Botcon 1999, and I was there and I bought the Bruticus repaint and I bought the Three Car Brothers. While they were imported, the Valdigus. They called it Valdigus in Japan. And I was excited. I'm like, heck yeah, I'm going to buy all this shit. But then next thing you know, Transtech is scrapped. RID is in the U.S. And they're making American versions.
Yep. Now, with Cheetor, one last thing about him is they did kind of update him with his Transtech design since they were never used. In animated, there was an animated toy design done by Derek J. Wyatt. There was a Timelines toy done of it, and he was in the BotCon 2011 animated comic book. He was partnered with Sideswipe. I love that. That was amazing.
I was gonna say, was that the Blur repaint?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I've got that somewhere. I think. I think I do.
Yeah,
maybe I don't.
But like to me, looking at the design that Derek did up, it looks very, very just the way it's designed. And yeah, sure, it's the Blur mold, but it reminds me so much of the actual Beast Machines design of the character.
Yeah,
at least in the legs. I mean, you know, if you look at that...
Right. Well, Blur was made to have those wheels on his legs, yeah. just like the Transtech Cheetor.
Right, right.
So it's almost as if they had that Transtech Cheetor in mind when they built him.
Yeah.
Or when they designed him, I should say.
Yeah. Overall, I still love Beast Machines. It's a series I can go back to and watch at any time. Such great storytelling. It's absolutely awesome.
I like that head.
That's what she said.
Yeah. You just shared a link of Transtech Cheetor. Or not the Transtech Cheetor, but the Timelines Cheetor. Which is the yellow Blur with the spots, and I just remembered that he had a remolded head, and it looks cool. that's a cool looking Cheetor.
And the funny thing is they had a Rattle Trap in the series, which looked like Rat Trap.
And then they
had Depth Charge.
Yeah.
In the Timelines.
He was in the Timelines. That's right.
He was
that's
yelling
right.
at Cheetor.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's one thing that I absolutely, and we'll get to this in a couple of weeks, but that's one thing I absolutely loved about Animated is after it ended, what they did with the story for the BotCon year.
Right.
I thought that was great, and we'll get to that. It's kind of sad that Beast Machines didn't get any comics. I don't think they did they?
They kind of did with the BotCon stuff, mm-hmm. the universe.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It all got touched on in there.
Right. But they tied a lot. They tied a lot of other stuff in there. I mean, the universe tied in a little G1.
Yeah.
I think Rodimus Prime showed up. The Dinobots showed up. Or I want to say that the Beast Machines Dinobots showed up, not the G1 Dinobots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they did a whole bunch of weird stuff. They included a bunch of I want to say earlier characters or earlier mm-hmm. Exclusive characters that just kind of showed up. Yeah, I was like, why not throw them in there too? Okay. This is a classic case of pre-IDW storytelling. I just don't even remember because it wasn't that good. What?
I really do wish that IDW would do something. I don't think Hasbro will let them, but I wish that they would do something that takes place after the end of Beast Machines, somehow do something showing the planet reformat. Like, even if it was just like a 2-issue miniseries or a 1-shot or a 4-issue miniseries, I don't want a full ongoing. I would like something that kind of shows you. And again, this is why I say Beast Wars and Beast Machines and Transformers Prime and whatever the new Transformers Prime 2 or whatever the new one's going to be next year. This is why they are so similar, because stop snickering at me, damn it. I heard that. you know, at the end of Beast Machines, Cheetor is essentially the leader, because Prime and Megatron are off with the Allspark and Matrix and whatever else.
Right.
At the end of Prime, Bumblebee is essentially the leader, just like he is in the current IDW continuity.
Cheetorimus Prime?
No.
I like that idea.
And my Rye Tank was bad. Come on now.
Cheetor Prime.
Cheetor Prime. Cheetorimus Prime.
Prime.
That's right.
Cheetor Prime.
Head crest. Or that, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The thing on his head.
You know
what I mean? The thing.
The thing on his head. Awful. So... But no, I see where you're going with that, but I don't think that continuity ties in with Hasbro's
plans.
What do they call that? Not revised continuity.
Aligned
continuity.
Realigned continuity.
Realigned. Yeah. It's not just realigned. Aligned. It's realigned. It's the realigned.
Wow.
Reconfigured. Realigned. Reuniverse.
Yes.
It's a continuity transformed.
And now that everyone has said realigned 5 damn different times, the whole thing of Godsmack's song realigned has popped into my head. Anyway.
It's a transformation revelation.
Yes, your taste
it's
in
not
music
Beast
stuff.
Machines.
What?
Beast Machines.
Come on now, Godsmack isn't that bad.
I honestly don't even know what band that is. I don't like.
Yeah, I'll shoot you a link.
Is that what the kids are calling it?
They used to do the Army song or the Navy song with
the YMCA.
Alone.
What?
No.
No. Was it that song or was it a different one?
I Stand Alone.
I don't think it was I Stand Alone. That was the Scorpion King.
I Drink Alone.
It was the Navy song.
Yeah, with nobody else.
Oh my God.
Ever say when I drink alone, I prefer to be by myself.
It was Awake.
Oh, Awake, yeah.
For their Accelerate Your Life commercials.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And then they had, what's his face on the commercial?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, what I'm saying, Michael, is that, yes, Beast Machines is not in the same continuity as what Hasbro is doing now. I'm just saying that the end of Beast Machines and the end of Prime are similar, with having the two kind of second-in-command guys, Cheetor and Bumblebee, eventually in the next series would rise up to be leaders if Beast Machines had ever had a next series.
See, I was all ready to give Steve Melching credit for doing something original with Transformers, and it turns out he was just copying Beast Machines.
It's a lie! It's a
Damn it, Melching.
He was on Beast Machines. He did do some story stuff on Beast Machines.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, it's not, no, it's not necessarily...
It's not stealing if you're stealing from yourself, right?
It's short-term borrowing.
Right.
It's reuse.
Reuse. I wasn't pleased with the whole idea of Optimus Prime sacrificing himself for the good of Transformers kind. Sure, I'll buy it, but I wasn't into it. And I mean, it's not Transformers if Optimus Prime doesn't die, but hasn't he died like three times already in the series? And there's only three seasons. You shouldn't have to die once a season.
Wow. Yeah, we'll get to that in a couple of weeks. Because next time around, I'm going to have to do my research before we record the next episode. Because
research.
Yeah, because I've said this from the beginning, that until RID gets a U.S. release, which I believe it is getting a U.S. release from Shout Factory eventually.
Yeah.
Once it gets a U.S. release, that's when I will finally sit down and actually watch it. The Unicron trilogy, I don't know if I can sit through that crap.
It's actually not that bad once you sit down.
Yeah. You know, like Armada, I enjoyed Armada.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't, you know, like Cybertron was just awful. Oh boy, was it awful. But like Armada had a really interesting Starscream.
Mm-hmm.
It was the start, you know, and again, this is... of little bits of Prime that were stolen from earlier works. They had a Starscream who turned good, you know, who decided he wanted to be a good guy for a little bit. I want to say he may or may not have been in love with one of the human characters.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm just saying here, man.
Oh my God, it's a girl loves Powerglide all over again. Holy fuck.
And Starscream has a big heart inside his chest when he opens up the front panel. It's really cute. You should have seen it.
And it beats.
And his heart grew three sizes that day.
It went thump, 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 thump.
Anyway, but yeah, so there's a lot going on in that particular series that I liked. And, you know, I really liked Minicons. The Minicons were awesome. They reintroduced Unicron, which was really cool. And, you know, spoiler alert, Unicron kills Starscream.
That's no big loss.
Well, no, but how cool is that, though? It's like you're just hanging out trying to be a good guy, and this giant beam from space obliterates you.
Well, considering where Starscream left Unicron in G1, I would think Unicron would come back and kill him in
exactly, yeah.
You know. Anything else for Beast Machines, guys?
No, not especially. I mean, it'd be nice if they did something with it. I mean, as far as, I don't know, giving us more of what happened after the fact, but seeing as though it doesn't tie into the realigned continuity, then I don't see that happening. I mean, we're honestly lucky to get figures.
Yeah, that's true.
15 years from now, when they release a, or maybe 10 years from now, when they release a 30th anniversary of Beast Wars, you know, maybe we'll get more figures. But right now, just happy to get the few that we got.
Yes. Yeah. Some of my favorite episodes since I didn't get to that, Mike.
Sorry.
Is there anything else you'd like? I'd like to be included. Is that too much to ask?
Ass.
Speak up, damn it.
I like the reformatting because you get to see the revised Beast Wars Season 1 characters.
Yeah.
In all their newfound CGI glory. Mm-hmm. It looked a little strange to me when I first saw it, and some of them I liked more improved, and then Cheetor, something about his face bothered me. Something about the way the spots were on his face, it didn't look right. But that's to be expected for them recreating old models or updating them. I liked Master of the House because you can see Megatron's face showing up, and then he's putting down Primal. It was great. And then Fires of the Past, you get to see the Viacon generals, even though they're annoying with their throw a staff, you know, afterburn and, you know, all this overdrive and pulverize. Mm-hmm. And it was just annoying seeing that over and over, but it was interesting seeing them kind of take flight in the show.
Is that almost then, as bad as saying maximize every time you transform?
They eventually stopped doing it.
Time. I liked it, though. I thought that was cool. I like it for some reason, like in anime, when they call out their attacks before they make them. Yeah.
And then they have the goofy splash screen behind them as something slaps into place and a little bolt of electricity behind them goes off, and then they transform into whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, you watch Transformers, Power Rangers, Pokemon, any of that stuff. It's all influenced by the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I
was about to say, I don't remember that happening in Beast Machines.
They did it a little bit when they were getting ready to do their runs.
Well, what they did in Beast Machines was they used color models. They used color effects when they transformed. Like when Cheetor went from a cheetah to a bee to a robot, it looked like his entire body was cracking open like an egg on, you know, this is your brain. This is your brain on transforming drugs. You know, it was that kind of thing.
It was like they never meant to have toys that would ever do this. It's like you can't. They're not going to have a transformation sequence because you just. How do you get from this to this? You can't. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why the toys were crap. But you can't get from this model to this model. But the way they did it was the way it. They just started glowing and limbs came out from the body, and next thing you know they were in their different mode. I mean, it worked. I liked the idea. I didn't complain. I don't think the fans complained nearly as much as when Animated came out and there was a rumor that they were going to do a Tasmanian Devil spin and then be in their new form.
People went thankfully into them. Thankfully that never really happened.
I think they happened a little bit, but
not in the full model transforms.
Well,
they had
stock footage transformations.
Yeah.
So you could actually see them transform, and they use those a lot. But occasionally, you'd see them just go whoop whoop whoop. You know, that'd be it. But not so much in Beast Machines, because it was almost, you know, they did that glowy thing that still looked kind of cool.
It was a very organic transformation.
That's what she said.
Why would you say that?
I said organic, not orgasmic. Get your mind out of the gutter, bot.
Orgasmic transformation. Right. What would that look like? Black Arachnia, you're having an orgasmic transformation over here.
Especially when Silverbolt, I mean Waspinator, came out of thrust.
Talk about making all six of her eyes bulge.
What was that? Doesn't she have
those
eight
were
eyes?
Eyes.
Eight eyes.
What was six, that? Eight, ten, whatever.
Was that Meg Ryan scene when Harry met Sally And Black Arachne is in a diner going, yes, yes, yes. And then she's a spider. Oh, fuck. There goes my boner.
Yeah. Well, she is a Black Widow.
It was hot for a second. Then,
and I'm then sorry, she ate him.
She ate him, exactly.
Go ahead, Steve.
My other two favorite episodes are Spark of Darkness, where Megatron sparks floating around into random bodies, some of them looking like mixed mashes of Tarantulas and Dinobot and Viacons, and
he had like a drone parts, though. He kind of looked like the Spike Bot, some of them.
Yeah, and then of course Seeds the Future.
Cool.
And Endgame Part 3, where Megatron is optimal and grows three sizes that day.
Yeah. Oh,
as he falls into the pit.
Yeah. No, that was really cool. He's like, ah, look at me. I got your nose and the rest of you. Good time.
I have Cybertron by its toes.
By the short hairs.
And Optimus came to pick his nose.
I have hairs. Nothing to rhyme with hairs.
Yes. I think it's funny that his old catchphrase comes back in that episode.
Chairs.
My great ascension is finally complete. Yes.
He should have used that a little more often.
And it's funnier yet when he says, when Primal says, the great transformation awaits, Megatron. Prepare to be reformatted. No! As he falls into the pit.
Mm-hmm. Aspinator went glory!
Aspinator has plans!
He has plans, yeah.
Aspinator never gets what Aspinator wants!
The funny thing about the whole Savage Noble thing, I remember Skier telling us this in the interview. He tasked Len Wein to write that, but he never told Len that he was writing for Megatron.
The funny thing about this show is there are so many plot holes that they just overlooked.
Like what?
For instance...
Because I thought the writing was pretty tight.
It was pretty good. Episodes.
You don't have like a low road episode. There's no fluff here. It's
no, and I'm glad for that
storyline pretty quick, pretty tightly. You know.
Yeah. However, when you look at like Endgame, when Megatron is flying the optimal body underwater, and in Nemesis, Primal couldn't fly underwater.
But he's Megatron. He can do anything.
Right.
Made a better body.
Megatron is the Transformers version
made
of
the
Batman.
Same, from the same specs. So there's no way it could have happened that way. Plus, if Megatron's falling into the core, couldn't he just fly out?
No, that's true.
I will escape my death today. To hell with you, Primal.
Rumors of my decease were greatly exaggerated.
They were greatly constipated.
Those rumors are going...
I'm Cybertron shot. Organic material all over the planet. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess Primal and Megatron were the butt end of the joke there, weren't they?
Oh, God.
Oh... I miss our conversations. This is why.
At last, my great ascension is complete.
Oh. So I'm looking in the wiki, and I'm trying to find the pictures of... there he is, the pictures of Megatron in the optimal body. For some reason, thinking that maybe they changed the color or something, but it was just the head that they changed. It was just like Optimus with... it wasn't even the head. It wasn't.
He removed his organic form, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. But he still had the big ass feet.
But well, Megatron, yeah, because so did Optimus.
Yeah, but they were. Yeah, but I mean, the big ass feet were gorilla feet. That was the reason he had those big feet. I was gonna say, oh yeah, there you go. Okay, so it's just like the Megatron face inside the Optimal helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. For a second there, I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool if we had an Optimal Optimus with a Megatron head? But nah, you know, maybe if it changes colors or something. But you know how many Optimal Optimuses I had?
You know how many pieces of Waspinator I had?
Oh, that was a good one. That's yes.
But no, I want to say like everybody had one and then immediately lost all the pieces. So you'd find them all on eBay. And yeah, I think I had like six or seven and I cobbled together maybe three complete ones and sold off two of them on eBay. And then I kept one of the incomplete ones just so I could have Optimal Optimus in two different forms on my shelf.
I used to have two different Optimal Optimus, except the first one I kept. The second one, I tried to create Optimal Megatron. It didn't work out so good.
Oh. Try to swap out the head. Did you ever see the Primal Prime?
Yes, I did. I never owned one, but I did.
See, I found one once, and I bought him, and he's I never opened him. He's in my closet somewhere. But that was a cool toy.
I liked the colors of it.
Yeah. He was translucent, if I remember right.
I mean, in parts.
Yeah. No, I mean, he looked like an Optimus Prime. It was a very cool toy.
Well, and it was designed after the Primal Dawn. It's a old Botcon remnant.
Oh, Dawn of Futures Past?
No. Before that. Primeval Dawn. It's when they bring back Tarantulas with the Vok, and then they have Tigatron and Airazor come back separately with infused with Vok powers. And then they have Primal Prime, who's it scanned the thing that Quickstrike used to make Optimal Move. Okay. And the Matrix. And Optimus Prime, and it created Primal Prime out of it.
Okie doke.
Wow, that's ugly.
You gotta scroll down and look at the toy. It's
No. Just the first image. The first. That's ugly.
The art here isn't very good.
No. And the toy, oh my god. Oh.
What? That's a cool looking toy.
Why would they do this?
I like it.
I guess every series has to have a red, white, and blue Optimus, right?
Why wouldn't they? You know what? Honestly, bring this toy back, paint him blue and yellow, make him Ultra Magnus. I'll buy it. I'll buy it again.
Oh, don't even get me started on that.
They'll never bring it back.
No, this figure's long gone.
They should make a
look at him. He's all vacuum metally too. And they should make
a masterpiece of it.
Now that I'm scrolling down a little bit, I see that they were going to make a titanium.
They did,
yep.
Of it,
but it was of Optimal.
Right. Well, no, I mean they have. There was a titanium version of Optimal Optimus, wasn't there?
No.
Yes.
I don't think so.
Yes.
Oh, there was?
Yes. I almost bought it.
Yeah. Oh, no, okay. I'm looking up at my shelf, and yeah, there he is. He had a really crappy transformation. But I got that. But they were going to repaint that that particular figure into Primal Prime. But the titanium, it looks like they were going to make him a Toys R Us exclusive, too. But the titanium line got cut short.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
It's just like G1, but with giant monkey hands.
Oh, if you keep doing that, you're going to have huge hands. I don't care.
That's what happens when you play with your feet.
Yeah. I got prehensile toes. Look how big my feet are. Like, oh, man. God. Stop that.
Oh. Yeah.
Can I go blind?
You think my feet are big? Check out my cockpit.
okay. On that note, next time on the podcast, we will be talking about Transformers: Robots in Disguise and the Unicron Trilogy. Oh crap!
oh stop! Oh my god, that was funny.
Oh my god!
I wasn't even thinking that, but I'm glad you were.
Oh, oh crap. You're gonna have to close it, Mike. I can't keep my composure.
Thank you for listening to All Things Transformers. We will be back in a couple of weeks with the Transformers Rid and Unicron Trilogy episode for episode 39. I am TFU and Mike with a uncomposure Steve Megatron and a salty pecan court Michael. Unleash the geek in you, transform, roll out, all that good stuff. We will talk to you next time. Oh god.
This fall to Fox Kids.